Hare Krishna. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, the chapter 8, prayers by Queen Kunti, text 22. And I know this is supposed to be a class in the build-up to Janmashtami, and my brief was to speak on a verse that reminded me of Krishna. So here you go. This is a very wonderful verse, and Prabhupada gave many lectures on this whole series of verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, there's even a book, The Prayers of Queen Kunti. So they're very heartfelt prayers by Queen Kunti and very valuable and very helpful for us to learn and meditate on and recite and offer in terms of prayers to the Supreme Lord. And this will help us make progress in our Krishna consciousness. So here we go. So, Srila Prabhupada's translation. My respectful obeisances are unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower, who are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, whose glance is as cool as the lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Here are some of the specific symbolical marks on the spiritual body of the personality of Godhead, which distinguish his body from the bodies of all others. They are all special features of the body of the Lord. The Lord may appear as one of us, but he is always distinct by his specific bodily features. Srimati Kunti claims herself unfit to see the Lord because of her being a woman. This is claimed because women, Shudras, the laborer class, and the Dvija Bandhus, or the wretched descendants of the higher three classes, are unfit by intelligence to understand the transcendental subject matter concerning the spiritual name, fame, attributes, forms, etc., of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Such persons, although they are unfit to enter into the spiritual affairs of the Lord, can see him as the Archavigraha, who descends on the material world just to distribute favors to the fallen souls, including the above-mentioned women, Sudras, and Dvijabandhus. Because such fallen souls cannot see anything beyond matter, the Lord condescends to enter into each and every one of the innumerable universes as the Garbhadakshay Vishnu, who grows a lotus stem from the lotus-like depression in the center of his transcendental abdomen. And thus Brahma, the first living being in the universe, is born. Therefore, the Lord is known as the Pankajanabhi. The Pankajanabhi Lord accepts the Archavigraha, his transcendental form, in different elements, namely, a form within the mind, a form made of wood, a form made of earth, a form made of metal, a form made of jewel, a form made of paint, a form drawn on sand, etc. All such forms of the Lord are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, and there should be a soothing atmosphere in the temple of worship to attract the burning attention of the non-devotees always engaged in material wranglings. The meditators worship a form within the mind. Therefore, the Lord is merciful even to the women, Shudras, and Dvijabandhus, provided they agree to visit the temple of worship in different forms made for them. Such temple visitors are not idolaters, as alleged by some men with a poor fund of knowledge. All the great acharyas establish such temples of worship in all places, just to favor the less intelligent, and one should not pose himself as transcending the stage of temple worship while one is actually in the category of the Shudras and the women or less. One should begin to see the Lord from his lotus feet, gradually rising to the thighs, waist, chest, and face. One should not try to look at the face of the Lord without being accustomed to seeing the lotus feet of the Lord. Srimati Kunti, because of her being the aunt of the Lord, did not begin to see the Lord from the lotus feet, because the Lord might feel ashamed. And thus Kunti Devi, just to save a painful situation for the Lord, began to see the Lord just above his lotus feet, i.e. from the waist of the Lord, gradually rising to the face, and then down to the lotus feet. In the round, everything there is in order. Hare Krishna. So, this is a very wonderful verse, and I have to admit, this verse and purport reminds me not just of Krishna, but of Srila Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada, he was very forthright and very clear and very explicit. And if anyone wants to, they can listen to the lecture where Srila Prabhupada is actually discussing this verse. And you can also read it as well in the Veda base. So this verse is very beautiful. Let's recite it one more time. My respectful obeisances are unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower, who are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, whose glance is as cool as the lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. So, as always, with any of these verses, and especially when we take Srila Prabhupada's purports, we find there is enormous room for discussion. In fact, if you listen to Srila Prabhupada's classes, when we hear these things, then we discover extraordinarily overflowing, cascading, incredible transcendental realization of point after point after point for our education and our enlightenment. And our understanding. So, as Prabhupada points out, by reciting these verses and understanding the meaning of them, even if we don't understand the meaning, then still this is punya shravana kirtana. One becomes pious. Generally, people become pious only after great endeavor. But simply hearing and reciting these verses, punya, one becomes pious, one develops great piety, simply by shravana and kirtana, such important things. And the development, Prabhupada explains, that by this process of hearing and reciting, then gradually we come to more and more remember about Krishna. And by reciting these beautiful verses that Queen Kunti Devi is speaking in order to give us the chance to also offer these prayers to Krishna, then we become engaged in prayer at the lotus feet of the Lord, gradually developing through all the processes of devotional service, being able to render all of them, surrendering at the lotus feet of the Lord, becoming his servant, in so many ways. But the basis of all these processes is Shravana Kirtana. And then automatically Smaranam and everything else follows. And Srila Prabhupada explains that this is the process of making progress in advancement of spiritual life. Hearing and reciting. Whether we understand or not, if we do it, this is very good. But the whole point of Prabhupada giving such wonderful purports and the Bhagavatam being presented by Sukadeva Goswami is that we can understand. So we should try to apply the grey matter into appreciating these different points that Srila Prabhupada is giving us. So Prabhupada explains that Krishna, he is very fond of lotus flowers. Krishna, his body itself, is in so many ways understood by appreciating the beauty of the lotus. Although the lotus itself is born from the mud, actually that means, pankaja means what is born from the mud. And in this way, this pankaja, this is very simple way of learning how to remember Krishna. When we see a lotus flower, we can remember so many things about Krishna. Can anyone give some examples about different aspects of Krishna's transcendental body which are compared to lotuses? His lotus eyes, yes. His lotus face, yes. Yes, indeed. Any aspects of Krishna's body which are also compared to lotuses? His lotus feet, yes. You find a few clues in the verse. Depression in his abdomen, yes. His navel in the shape of a lotus flower, yes. So, and his feet are engraved with lotuses, the flag, the lotus flower, so many things are there. They're specific marks that we find on the body of the Supreme Lord. And of course here we see that Krishna's glance is compared to the cooling effect of the lotus flower. And also he's so fond of lotuses, you see that always Krishna is decorated with a beautiful garland of lotus flowers. So I hope everyone got the idea that Queen Kunti Devi, she is Krishna's very great devotee. She's a very exalted lady. And her prayers are so helpful for understanding the program of Krishna consciousness. She's such an exalted devotee. Generally speaking, it may be considered that the women, the Shudras, the Dvija Bandhus, who are these people? The Shudras means the untrained laborer class, the Dvija Bandhus, as Prabhupada calls them, the wretched descendants of the higher orders. Dvija means twice born, and Bandhu means friend of the twice born, like that. So Dvija Bandhu means, for example, someone who is born in a Brahmana family but is not qualified as a Brahmana. That means that person has the opportunity to become Brahmana but has not developed yet that qualification. But by the association of the Lord's devotees, that becomes possible. So just like all of us, in this age of quarrel, the statement is very clearly there, Kalo Shudra Shambhava, that in this age of quarrel, we're all born lower than Shudras. We have nothing to shout about our qualification. We've all taken unfortunate births within this material world. So the opportunity is being given by Srila Prabhupada to develop good qualities. Srila Prabhupada made it very clear when he was lecturing on this verse. He was discussing about the Dallas Gurukul. And he was explaining how, what is the purpose of this Gurukul, is to train a generation of human beings who understand what is the value of life. They're learning English and Sanskrit, he said. And this is sufficient. Because from this, they can understand and appreciate these words of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then they can present these. They can become qualified to preach nicely. And this will actually be of great value to the world. Instead, we see in modern days generations of children who don't even know properly how to speak or write English. They speak SMS maybe, but not much in the way of valuable discussion. But what to speak of having time or energy or enthusiasm or eagerness or appreciation for words about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the generation, practically speaking, that we find living around in the world today. But Prabhupada was very keen to create a generation of persons who could appreciate Srimad Bhagavatam. And this Srimad Bhagavatam is so potent to generate understanding in the hearts and minds of the people in general. We shouldn't underestimate the potency of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The example is given of the lotus flower because it's a very extraordinary thing. Actually, we can take the example from anywhere, how things come in abundance. Just like from another meaning of Pankajanabhaya, as Prabhupada points out in this verse, is from whose navel the creation has come in the form of the first creature, the first created being, Lord Brahma, into this universe. And from him, the universe has been generated with all, on each and every planet, you've got all the houses and mountains and motor cars and everything else, simply born out of this lotus flower. Isn't that extraordinary, that one lotus flower can produce so many things? So this sort of lotus flower isn't the product of some chance. Ask any scientist to produce a banyan tree, or even produce a seed in which there is a banyan tree. Can any scientist think of doing such a thing? And inside each of those banyan trees, so many fruits with so many more seeds in, with so many more banyan trees inside them. So this is extraordinary. This doesn't happen by chance. This requires, even your scientists, they're credited with exceptional brains. But do they have the brain, do they have the sharp intelligence to do such a wonderful thing? That requires very wonderful intelligence. So this is Krishna. And Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for helping us understand Krishna, helping us appreciate Krishna, help us become grateful to Krishna and attracted to Krishna and develop ultimately love for Krishna. And then as the Bhagavatam points out by this hearing and chanting about Krishna, when that love for Krishna is there, then it's very easy to remember Krishna at all times. The simple thing is we see everything related to Krishna. If the love is there, the example is just like a mother sees something belonging to her child and automatically she thinks of the child. She sees some shoe or a car. She sees everything in relation to, my child. I wonder how his shoes are fitting him. Is he grown out of them? Or the car, I hope he's safe on the road. Everything she sees reminds her because of that love of the child. And the same way, if there's love developed in the heart, everything will remind us of Krishna. So we see how Krishna is not some poor person who can create only one lotus flower. Just like this is one, we learn from Srimad Bhagavatam that this is only one of countless unlimited universes. Everything about Krishna is unlimited. You see the fruits growing on the tree of the on the banyan tree. Unlimited number of fruits. Or take any tree. Unlimited foliage there. Yeah. Everywhere you look. I went blackberry picking the other day and I was surprised. You lift up one little branch and you find a whole swathe more of blackberries. Unlimited quantities. Krishna is not limited. So many fruits, flowers, everything just growing out of the earth. And here the example is given not just one lotus flower, but a whole garland of lotus flowers. Krishna has no limitation. In so many ways, he's producing everything. So, Prabhupada makes the point here about the temple should be a nice place where there'll be a soothing atmosphere in the temple of worship to attract the burning attention of non-devotees always engaged in material wranglings. There are so many topics of discussion. Everything but Krishna. So our business, Srila Prabhupada's business, is to bring Krishna into the picture through these wonderful transcendental literatures. But not simply that beautiful verses like this are meant to help us simply sell books, but they're meant to encourage us to hear about Krishna, to read and discuss Srila Prabhupada's books, to become enlivened and intoxicated, actually, by this beautiful nectar of Krishna, so that we can't do without that intoxication. In fact, in this verse, in Prabhupada's lecture on this verse, we find the famous example where Prabhupada's explaining about how Krishna is so easy to appreciate. Just like Krishna is saying, rasoham apsukantaya. So he's the taste of liquid, Prabhupada explained like this. So generally when we think of liquid, we think of water. But Prabhupada, he took that further. He helped us understand. He said, just like the liquid, generally we find in these Western countries, people are into all sorts of other liquids. They're into alcohol. He explained there's no shortage of people into alcohol. There's no shortage of drunkards in our country. But he explained that this taste of water, even the drunkard, if he can appreciate that the taste of this liquid is Krishna, then one day he will grow also. If he can meditate and think like this, then one day he will also grow into a great saintly person. That is an extraordinary fact. Simply because Krishna is completely pure. And by associating with the pure, by hearing and reciting about the pure and remembering the pure, then actually we become purified. This is a very simple process. So, therefore, Prabhupada explained this point, that simply we have to introduce Krishna. Just as Prabhupada is introducing us to Krishna and introducing Krishna to us. In fact, without the introduction of Srila Prabhupada, without the introduction of a pure devotee of the Lord, what is the possibility that we could ever go to meet Krishna? We are coming from very contaminated existence. We've taken birth since time immemorial. As George put it in one of his songs, you're a billion years old today. So fact of the matter is that we've taken birth so many times. And what has brought us back here? But now, in this greatly advantageous human birth, the opportunity is to hear and to chant about Krishna and understand. Now, Prabhupada makes a lot of wonderful points. In every sentence, nothing is wasted. Prabhupada makes the point that Krishna's transcendental form, his Archa Vigraha, is in different elements. Even the form within the mind of wood, earth, metal, jewel, paint, sand, etc. And all such forms of the Lord are decorated with garlands of lotus flowers. So these forms, just like we see these beautiful forms of Radha Gokul Ananda, Sita Ram Lakshman, Hanuman, Shishi Gonitai, these beautiful forms, when presented very nicely with love, then they attract the heart and mind of the worshipper. So this whole process of seeing the form of the Lord, we come to the temple, we see, again we see, and again we see, and gradually the time comes when we can close our eyes and we can still see this form of the Lord. So this is a very important part of the whole process, the Archa Vigraha worship. And there are so many nice points. I particularly like this point towards the end. Prabhupada explains the process of actually seeing the form of the Lord. Now, I know it's become very fashionable to present pictures of the deity's lotus faces. But actually, Prabhupada tells us in this purport how we should begin to see the form of the Lord. He said one should begin to see the Lord from his lotus feet, gradually rising to the thighs, waist, chest, and face. And one should not try to look at the face of the Lord without being accustomed to seeing the lotus feet of the Lord. So we can learn something from this, something very valuable for our own meditation. And Prabhupada points out something very nice in the loving dealings. Just like Queen Kunti Devi, she's in a technically superior position to Krishna. Although she can appreciate being Krishna's aunt, that Krishna is still the Supreme Personality of Godhead, she's thinking that actually he's my nephew, so I don't want to embarrass Krishna by inappropriate dealings. So therefore she begins her meditation from above the lotus feet of the Lord, because she's in the very special, superior position of being Krishna's auntie. So she begins from the waist. So she begins, Nama Pankaja Nabhaya. My respectful obeisances are unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower. And then the meditation rises, who is always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, and whose glance is as cooling as the lotus. And then Prabhupada explains, in the round everything is complete, because she again comes back down to the lotus feet of the Lord, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. So here, from this, we learn how to meditate on the transcendental form of the Lord. We begin at the feet, gradually rising up to the knees, the thighs, the waist, the chest, the shoulders, the beautiful smiling face of the Lord, and then back down again. The round is complete when we come back down again to the lotus feet. So these are very helpful things in our Krishna consciousness, to think about Krishna, to meditate on Krishna, and to make progress in spiritual life by reciting. Prabhupada emphasized when he was speaking in this verse how important it is to hear and memorize these verses and recite them and use them to help us. Just like in the Nectar of Devotion, it's described that one should recite notable prayers. So these are very notable prayers, very helpful in appreciating what is the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and what is our position in relationship with Him. So I'll pause here. If anybody has any questions or comments, that would be very nice, please.